Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trutter. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you. Welcome back to the Startup Dentist Podcast. It is great to be here. If you are thinking about practice ownership and you're an associate and you're not quite sure what to do with your associate agreement, or listen, even before you sign an associate agreement, and then definitely listen to my most recent episode where I interview a gentleman by the name of Rob Montgomery. And Rob is one of the most trusted legal advisors. He's an attorney that I have come across in my 20 years of experience here in the industry. You'll hear twists and turns of things to look for in your associate agreement. These things will help prepare you to become a practice owner. You'll hear about do's and don'ts within those elements and really the negotiations to make sure that you actually have an associate agreement that allows you to become a practice owner in the area that you want and things to look out for so that you're not tripped up before you begin that road to practice ownership. So today, I love real estate. And one of the biggest decisions that you'll make ever in your career when it comes to becoming a practice owner is the real estate you choose, especially as a startup dentist. It is probably the biggest agreement if you sign a lease agreement or even purchase. We'll talk through that. So today we're going to dive into the twists and turns of real estate, the do's and don'ts of real estate, the things to look out for. So grab your notepad and let's make this dream practice of yours a living and breathing reality. Okay. So when it comes to real estate, I'll say this, and I've said this every client before, is the biggest decision and the one that could take the most time in a lot of cases is the real estate decision. And the reason why is there's just a lot of twists and turns when it comes to real estate. And there's a lot of people that are involved. Now, the first thing that I let everybody know is this. Commercial real estate isn't realtor.com. What I mean by that is you can't just go on a website. And yes, there are a few websites that are out there like LoopNet and things like that. But the thing is, they're not going to be accurate. When it comes to you want to find a home, you can go on Realtor or Zillow or a host of other websites and you can find accurate listings for homes. Commercial real estate doesn't work that way. So don't just pull out Google and say, let's go find commercial real estate or anything along those lines, because the information that's out there is not going to be accurate because the landlords and the owners need to pay to have those listings. In a lot of cases, they may not be accurate or up to date. So don't just simply think like, hey, I'm going to go online and do that. The other thing I see with a lot of dentists is also like, I'll just say this, like, don't go at this alone. I'll talk a little bit more about having proper representation. You need to be properly represented. So whenever anybody comes to our course, Startup Practice Blueprint, there's like this oath I always tell everybody, which is don't call the phone number on the sign. I get it. You're coming home from your associate position. Maybe you're listening to me right now coming home and you've driven by this space a dozen times and you're like, that could be a perfect location for my dental practice. If you're listening and you're driving past that space, don't call the phone number, because the second that you've engaged with that space, you're kind of doing it by yourself. Unless you've transacted hundreds of real estate transactions, put it this way, you will be in a much disadvantaged position when it comes to the negotiation. So please don't do that. The other thing is, if I kind of start early with this, is I think so many dentists, when it comes to starting a practice, they think, okay, I need money and I need to find space. Yes, very, very important. But I think so many dentists kind of venture out into the real estate too early without understanding, well, who are my ideal patients? What are the demographics? And there's this chase to real estate. And over the years, you know, working with dentists, I feel like the ones that say, I'm looking for this particular, they place the real estate over the opportunity for the practice. And I'll talk about that in a little bit more detail here. They think like, okay, I'm trying to find this kind of real estate. I want it to be this look and this feel. And I get that. Like, listen, like, this is the home for your practice and you want to make sure it's beautiful. But the challenge with that premise is that when you allow yourself, let's say you pick like where I live in Tampa, Florida. If you say I want this perfect real estate, now you're looking everywhere in the Tampa area, and Tampa is a very large city. You could be looking for years to find the real estate because you haven't blocked off in a specific area. So that's why I always say demographics at least sets the stage and gives the direction of like, okay, what kind of patients, where are those patients located, and then what real estate aligns with that. So demographics needs to come before this. Now, demographics is not X marks the spot either. So I've talked demographics many times, even on this podcast. You probably read it in my book. Demographics gives us the area of abundance of where those potential patients are, your ideal patients. But it doesn't necessarily give you the X marks the spot, which is place your practice right here in the middle of this circle or ring or whatever the analysis says. It's showing the people. So we need to strategically place the real estate around that marketplace to be able to track those patients in there. So, but the demographics at least gives the direction and the parameters of like, okay, where am I looking for this? Because if you just say I'm focused on real estate, you'll be looking for years. I've seen it happen time and time again. You're just chasing the particular real estate as opposed to chasing what is the best opportunity. And then saying, okay, I'm going to hunker down in here. I'm going to find the real estate that's here, there. So don't start early and start looking for space without the due diligence of really understanding what the plan is. Things like demographics, having the proper funding in place and having a game plan. Because when we work with our clients here at Ideal Practices and we start talking with real estate agents, those agents are very attentive. Why? Because they know our clients have the funding. They know they have the direction and the demographics to say, we've got a focused area. These are the areas or one or two areas that fit the best for this client with these kinds of patients. Go find real estate. So don't just step out into that world and go, let's just go find real estate, because you won't have a plan. And what will happen is, and I've had this happen many times, is without a plan, once you secure real estate, by the way, that's a legal that's a legal document when you sign a lease or a purchase agreement. It's like legally binding. You're now doing this. You can't unfix that. You can't undo that. And we've had clients that have come on board that have ventured out into real estate to have a letter of intent and back and forth a couple times. And the letter of intent is the non-legally binding of this whole agreement of real estate, which is really defining the parameters that are in there. And they get scared. And all of a sudden they call us and they go, oh, I got this LOI. I don't know what to do next, because what everybody hears is I need money and I need space. Yeah. If you've ever heard me talk about the 3P methodology of practice, profits, and purpose, you know what I'm talking about. The practice, which is the physical space. Listen, anybody can go out and say, I've got money and I've got space. Let's go build a practice. It's what comes after that, which is, I now need to negotiate equipment and construction. I don't have my systems in place. I don't have protocols. I don't have my financial guidelines. I don't know how to hire people. I don't know how to set up insurance. All these things are going to pile up. So that's why real estate it's like a demarcation line where it's like, once you secure it, it's like a lot of things are going to start moving forward. So you need to make sure that you get it done right. So how do you get it done right? You get it done right with having the proper representation. And what I mean by proper representation is it's not your cousin who's an agent that sold you your home, because they don't know commercial real estate. Like I said before, commercial real estate and residential are two entirely different animals, different terms, different negotiations. And what you want to make sure is have that proper representation of somebody that's done it many, many times over, that has the oversight, that's looking for the deal points, because in your real estate, there's a lot of twists and turns. And so what I mentioned earlier, I said, making sure that you are properly represented and not calling the sign and the phone number is this. I call it the tale of two deals. You probably heard me say this before. The tale of two deals is the deal that you get when you walk in by yourself, the deal that you get when you walk in with somebody that's representing you, an agent. There are two different deals, because there is nothing better for a landlord and a listing agent, the agent that represents the landlord, when you as a dentist said, hey, I was driving by and I would love this space. They are licking their chops. They can't wait. They're going to slide this agreement and say, this is our standard LOI. Here's what we offer. Thing is, if you walked in with somebody else representing you, that agreement, that LOI, that proposal wouldn't even come out of their desk, because they know that somebody else is representing you. And they know that wouldn't pass, because this person that's going to represent you is going to know the marketplace, the comps in the area, and things like that. So got to make sure that's there. That's there. Hey there, Startup Dentist Podcast listeners. It's Stephen Trutter here, taking a quick break from today's episode to share something special with you. If you're dreaming of owning your own dental practice, then you need to get your hands on our Startup Dentist book. This isn't just any book. It's a 200-plus page comprehensive guide that covers everything you need to know to start a successful dental practice. From picking the perfect location to designing a patient-friendly office to building a marketing plan that draws in your ideal patients, we've got you covered. This book is packed with insider tips and real-world strategies. The other thing about commercial real estate that in having proper representation is this. There are lots of other challenges that can exist with this space. Things like, what is the parking situation? You have certain requirements because you're a medical use. You have ADA compliance. You've got the zoning that needs to be done for your use. So having somebody that's there that understands this world is very, very important because you can't just go into any other space, commercial space. So part of the vetting process that happens behind the scenes from an agent is they're not just going to say, hey, here's 15 places, because those 15 places may not be available. Somebody may have an exclusive right in that space and another dentist that can't come in. A landlord may not want your use. That may not be zoned correctly, may not be the ample parking and all these different elements that are there. So you got to make sure that before you start like venturing into real estate, that this person has said, all right, of the 15 spaces that are available, here's the five that actually fit: the size, availability, the zoning, parking, all these different elements that can actually fit and house a dental practice. So you can see there's some twists and turns when it comes to real estate. And that's why it's very, very important to have proper representation. Now, one of the big other topics I always talk about is McDonald's and Starbucks. And I think when you think about location of the practice, I think a lot of people naturally think, you know me, you hear me talk about the peanut gallery. You should be on the busiest street corner. I don't know what voice that was. I guess that's my peanut gallery voice. But people will say, you need to be on the busiest street corner. You need visibility. And yes, I'm sure there are dentists that have said, I get walk-in patients. Yeah, I get it. But if you think about like Starbucks and McDonald's, they're placed on some of the busiest intersections because like what they sell is quick. But your dental practice isn't going to have a drive-through window, right? That's not how people consume dentistry. There are going to be the emergency cases that they'll find you online and things like that. But those street corners are expensive. In a lot of cases, you may find yourself 20 to 30, 40% savings by being a block off main street corner when it comes to real estate. And think about what those savings can have. Now, you may say, well, yeah, but I can get more patients. We'll talk about like where those patients are and how to attract them. But, you know, if as long as it's a convenient place that has ample parking and it aligns and it's attractive, it's not down a scary alley or something, it's not going to deter patients coming into your practice. So think about McDonald's and Starbucks, where they are, and think about the savings when it comes to what that real estate is. And actually, I've had that happen multiple times with a ton of clients where it's like, hey, we go a street over or just behind here off Main Street, significant savings when it comes to the real estate. Now, in choosing your real estate, we can talk about the lease and purchase option here. And it's a very lengthy conversation in a lot of cases. And I talk about this, and I'll talk about in more detail in my book, but also I talk about at the course. Leasing offers flexibility. It gives you the cash flow in the beginning and the flexibility of having, in reality, more options to choose from when it comes to real estate. Now, I'm not saying leasing is the answer. I'm just saying more than likely for your startup, you will be leasing. Why? Because there's going to be more space available. And in a lot of cases, depending on what your lending looks like, you may require a larger down payment than maybe some of you would want to put in to do a purchase. In most cases with purchases, it's going to be a larger out-of-pocket expense to acquire the space. The other thing is when you purchase, you're going to lease it back to yourself. So that's more of a legal strategy of like actually leasing the building back to your practice. Yes, perfectly legal. Everybody does it. That's how you create the operating expense for your practice. But the other factor is you are now a landlord. Okay, that's cool. But here's the thing about being a landlord. when you lease space from a landlord, I would say greater than 90% of the time with our clients, we're able to obtain some sort of tenant improvement allowance. So, or TIA or TI allowance. So what's a TI allowance? A TI allowance, tenant improvement allowance, basically means that the landlord is subsidizing or providing you a certain dollar figure. Usually it's a multiplier of X amount of dollars per square foot for your space towards your construction of your practice. It could range anywhere from $10 or $20 a square foot. I've seen it as high as $75 to $80 a square foot. You know, it could be very, very significant depending on the marketplace. But when you are the landlord, guess what? You're footing 100% of the bill. So even if you, imagine if you're going to purchase space, it will require typically more out-of-pocket expense, another loan of real estate. That's fine. But the advantage of purchasing obviously is longevity. And you've got a fixed expense, you know, from that perspective, and you have another asset down the road. But don't place purchasing and owning over the opportunity for the practice. What I mean is, don't limit yourself to purchases and saying, I must only own, because you will limit yourself to the amount of properties that are available. There could be, in some marketplaces, zero opportunities to purchase that really align for you, your ideal patient, your practice, your vision, as opposed to leases. And again, with leases, your out-of-pocket expenses are going to be significantly less from a down payment in terms of securing the space, the construction costs, because again, landlord will be kicking in. Again, so leasing just offers the flexibility. And if you're thinking about this as future growth opportunities, if you're going to purchase space, you really need to make sure that space can house your practice for a very long time, because you're going to sign a 10-year lease normally with, you know, I always recommend 2 5-year options. So 10-year lease with the option to renew 2 more times for 5 years. But maybe after that initial 10 years, you're like, you know what? I've outgrown the space. I want to be able to purchase my own space. The lease provides you that flexibility as well. If you purchase and you're like, ooh, I purchased the space, I've outgrown it. Ouch. Could you expand onto it? Yeah, certainly. So you just need to look at real estate kind of through a broad lens and say, leasing and purchasing, there's not a right fit for, there's not a perfect fit. There is the fit that is the best today for your practice. If you can purchase, listen, I think it's a great thing. We have a number of clients that purchase real estate on a consistent basis. It's just finding that right real estate in that market and really the availability. I mean, really the ratio could be anywhere between 10 and 15 to 1 of leases versus purchases in the marketplace that you that really aligns from a demographical perspective. So it is very, very dependent upon availability for sure. In choosing your real estate, what I would also say, the right location aligns with your vision. It aligns with your ideal patients. It aligns with your future growth. When I think about a few clients, I think about Dr. Nadia, who's down here in Florida. And I remember when we were looking at the real estate and the demographics, she was like, I want a space that aligns with the kinds of people that I want to connect well with within my area. And we found that space. And so as you're thinking through like attracting patients, like is the building attractive to your patients? So if you're walking up, like is the building, the space, is it attractive to them? Now, it doesn't have to be opulent, but like think about your ideal patient. Like who are they? Are they higher end patients? Are they kind of like, you know, middle class? Like where, who are they within kind of like that, even from a socioeconomic and kind of look and feel, like who are you trying to attract? And is that space and is that location attractive or seem attractive to them? How do they get there? And what does that commute look like? So think about like, even if they're, you know, if there are certain landmarks and things like that, that people would recognize in terms of how to get to that space. Even small things that can deter patients, a lack of parking, maybe it's near some, you know, tenants that are just kind of don't look that great from a visual perspective. Something as simple as a U-turn to get into your space. I remember a few clients a few years ago, they, unfortunately, when I talked about earlier, I said, pursuing real estate too early. These were a client, it was a husband and wife team, and they had pursued real estate too early. They basically were like, we bought this land. Oh, okay. What do we need to do with it? And it's like, wow. Okay. Let's figure this out. And part of the challenge was like, there was a median that you couldn't cross from one direction to get into their space. Now, again, they can go, somebody can go around, but they would have to do a U-turn. And listen, the hands were tied at this point because they already owned the land. They had to do what they had to do with it. But like, it represented such a challenge. Something as simple as a U-turn can deter patients to come into your space and how they access the space. So I think it's really important to, like, as you're looking at the real estate, don't fall in love with the real estate, but really look at everything from a patient perspective. Is it seem attractive? Is it easily accessible? Is parking flexible for me? Is it even near some things that would complement your space? Like, wow, there's this space, there's this gym that's nearby. A lot of people come there. I mentioned Starbucks earlier. Like, I would say this, I would not be near a Starbucks. I remember this a few years ago with the client. He was like, there was two spaces up in Connecticut. And it was like, wow, there was one next to the Starbucks and one that was down the street. And I remember going there in the morning, looking at the space going, the Starbucks location was awful. But he's like, wow, there's Starbucks. And nobody could get into the parking lot. Think about what a Starbucks looks like in the morning. I know my Starbucks that's here 5 minutes from my house. It's like, you know, they have to put cones out so you can't go one way into the drive-thru. You have to go around the entire space. And that, the line could be all the way around the building. And they're a standalone space. So imagine if like a Starbucks is in a center where you're going, and think about what that parking situation looks like in the morning, or it seems like 24 hours a day these days, but especially in the morning as patients are trying to come in for those early appointments, like it could be a major deterrent. Think about the neighbors that are in there. The other tenants, is there some commonality? Like, listen, I wouldn't, you know, some people talk about like MOBs, medical office buildings. I think MOBs are great in some scenarios. We've had a number of clients that have gone to MOBs because there's some great, think about the synergies that can exist, whether it's like, maybe you're a pediatric dentist. It's like, wow, there's one of the largest pediatrician's offices in this building. Wow, that's called referral source. Ophthalmology, optometry, derm, like think about some of the synergies that can exist. Maybe there's other dental professional specialties that can really exist. So I wouldn't rule out MOBs, because I think most people, when they think about real estate, they think, oh my gosh, I have to be visible. I need to be on the first floor. I got to have the biggest sign. Listen, if you got a rich uncle that's going to build you the biggest sign that says greatest dentist ever here, take the sign. But I'll say this, big signs and street corners do not sell dentistry. The right real estate is the home for your practice, but it doesn't require the biggest signs and the busiest street corner. That really sums up this entire episode right there. There's a lot of nuances. So as you're approaching real estate, look through a very broad stroke of this, you know, and say, does it align with my patients? Is it easily accessible? Who are the other tenants or neighbors? Is there opportunities for me for refer? But also, is there some neighbors here that like, this won't align very well? Because my patients, like, maybe there's something, maybe there's a vape place or something that, or, you know, a dispensary or something. Like, again, like I don't hold any judgment. Like, it's legal in a lot of states. It's not something that I partake in, but like maybe a vape shop and things like that don't really sit well with some of your patients, or maybe it doesn't align for you as well. So I would definitely think through that lens when it comes to the real estate. Make sure, like, kind of recap here, make sure you have proper representation. Have an agent that understands the marketplace. Have an agent that represents you. And this is a tenant representative. And you need, you know, when we get into this, we've had agents that we've worked with in certain marketplaces, you know, smaller markets. And it's like, well, we don't do things this way around here. I don't care. I don't care how you do things down here. Because what I don't want is this feeling of like, is my agent just trying to get a deal done to go have drinks afterwards with the listing agent? or is this person actually representing me? I want agents to work with our clients. Our agents work for that commission because it's like they'll earn it, and that's fine. They can earn that, but they need to earn it by working hard to get the best deal and to make sure that it's negotiated the best for you. Don't call the sign, please, as you're driving home. If you're listening to me here today, don't call the sign. Protect yourself. It's important that you are protected. There are savings. Yes, I understand what the peanut gallery says, visibility, street corners, but sometimes a block away is going to give you somewhere, can give you 20, 30, 40% savings. Very, very important to like look around what's in there. Leasing versus purchase. Prioritize your practice first. then prioritize your investment later. You can always own real estate, folks. It doesn't have to be the real estate that you own your practice with. You can own real estate outside. You can own outside of your practice. Maybe there's investments that you make. There's all kinds of opportunities that exist out there. There's companies you can invest in that own multi-tenant buildings. You can own those kinds of things. So don't think like, if I don't own, I'm throwing my money away. Yes, the long-term opportunity that exists to be able to sell that asset later with your own practice exists. But if you're starting your first practice, look at the flexibility that it can allow you and the opportunities that will probably be in a greater abundance when it comes to leases. If it ends up being the right space, the right size, and all things line up and the financing is there, absolutely purchase. Not discouraging. This is not a forum against purchasing. It is simply to look at the bigger picture of what is available when it comes to those. All right, folks. That is a wrap on the topic of real estate. Hope to give you some really good elements that are there. If you want to learn more, here's what I would love for you to do is you can go to idealpractices.com. You want to have a call. And so what I would love to do is like, if you want to talk with one of our professionals here to get a better idea, and especially if you're starting to venture down real estate, especially, and you're kind of getting scared, you're like, oh my gosh, am I making the right decisions? Let's have a conversation. One-on-one, we talk through all these different elements to see what is there. Is this the right opportunity for you? And really make sure before you make the biggest decision here of your professional career of becoming a practice owner, the real estate will be the most important document that you'll ever sign, especially a lease or a purchase. No turning back. Let's have a conversation. Pick up the phone. Let's, reach out to our team at idealpractices.com. Schedule a one-on-one time with one of our expert advisors. Let's talk through what those elements are. All right, folks. That's a wrap on the topic of real estate. Don't forget to check the show notes for any and all links and resources we talked about today. Next time, I got to look at my notes. Oh, my goodness. We are going to dive into some of the common concerns and the fears that so many associates have before they venture into practice ownership. We're going to talk about the fears of failure, debt, finding the right patients, some of the roadblocks that some of you have, and so that I've seen before. And I'm going to share with you some stories of dentists that have conquered some of these fears, become some of the greatest success stories in all the industry. So I'll see you there. As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.